Happy Friday, everybody. It's the Information's 411, your weekly look from the reporting team at The Information at the big stories we've written during the week and other matters that we find interesting in the tech and media worlds. My name is Tom Dotan. I am part of that reporting team. This week, it's all about Facebook. I'm talking to Alex Heath about the org chart that we published. It's an update of the org chart that we did about a year ago, but this one kind of goes more in depth into all the different divisions of labor. Facebook has named a lot of new executives to different roles overseeing the various apps that it owns, projects like Calibra, their VR efforts, advertising. There's been a lot of changes happening structurally inside the company, and Alex explains how that's all played out. And then we're talking about the leak. Kind of was a big story this week when an intern at Facebook, leaked the audio of a recent Q&A to The Verge. And it says a lot about Facebook, both what Mark said during his Q&A, which touched on Elizabeth Warren and her comments about big tech and how she thinks Facebook should be broken up, and also some of the internal issues that they've been facing when it comes to fake news and other things like that. So Alex gives his take on what it means to have a Q&A like that leak, but also, you know, the content of Mark's thoughts. And then, you know, that all led to this week, a day or two later, when they decided to live stream the Q&A and what that whole experience was like. And lastly, we're also talking about Threads, which is another app from Facebook that is aiming directly at Snap. Alex and I have both written a lot about Snap in the past, and I have to say this is one of the most brazen attempts I've seen from the company to bite off not just its features, but the whole Snapchat experience. We both kind of explain why this is significant and why Facebook is so obsessed with trying to take down Snapchat. All right, so that is the episode. And then before I get to it, I want to make a couple of plugs. So we've got our Subscriber Summit coming up on October 17th. It's our fifth annual Subscriber Summit. It's going to be happening at the Rosewood Sand Hill. So not in San Francisco, it's down in the South Bay. We've got a great lineup, including Fiji Simo of Facebook, Max Levchin of Affirm, Priscilla Chan of the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative. So a lot of Facebook happening at this one. So if you're interested in kind of the state of both Facebook from Fiji and then Priscilla Chan, who runs the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, this is the place to be. For more details and tickets, visit theinformation.com/events. And then we have our annual Hong Kong event. This is happening November 6th in Hong Kong. We've got executives from Didi, Hesai, a lot of other companies that if you are interested in the China tech space, that is the place to be. Again, if you want information on that one, it's theinformation.com/events. I did an okay job reading those. I've done better in the past, but hopefully you got the message. Let's get on over to Alex Heath, and we'll go deep on Facebook. All right, Alex, busy week on the Facebook front. I feel like that's the least newsworthy phrase you could possibly say, but it seemed like it was very much in gear this week on a number of fronts. But getting to all of them, we should probably start off with the story that you published, that you wrote on the org chart. We've done a Facebook org chart in the past, but this one is expanded, updated significantly, and had some kind of headline moves and changes within the company's organization. So why don't you just give us, you know, the overall, like, what were some of the biggest things that you found when you dug into, you know, how this company is structured now and who's leading the charge?
Yeah, so, when we published our initial Facebook org chart about a year ago, things looked quite different. And there's been several high-level departures, most notably the chief product officer, Chris Cox, who was kind of Zuckerberg's number two product executive. And, you know, earlier this year, in the wake of the departures of the co-founders of Instagram and WhatsApp, Zuckerberg announced this kind of sweeping reorganization of his reports. And now he's kind of elevated these four, you know, respected longtime product executives to be essentially general managers for what employees call Facebook's family of apps. So that's Instagram, Facebook itself, Messenger, and WhatsApp. And so we really show for the first time in this org chart the reports of those four leaders who are each kind of leading the four main pillars of Facebook's business. And I would highlight specifically, you know, we lay out Adam Mosseri's reports for the first time in detail for Instagram. And what you see there is a lot of, you know, longtime Facebook executives who have been in other parts of the company who Zuckerberg has kind of reorganized to be in growth areas reporting to him. So he has much more visibility. I hesitate to say power because he's always had absolute power at Facebook, but he definitely has more visibility, I would say, on a day-to-day with these four app heads reporting into him, into the apps, because before they reported to Chris Cox, so there was this layer where of management that now doesn't exist. And then also we go into great detail the orgs of Sheryl Sandberg and Mike Schrepp, the chief technology officer, who are, you know, arguably the two most powerful executives at the company now, besides Zuck himself. And when you look at their orgs, it's just kind of amazing to see the sheer breadth of what some of these teams are. We go into Dave Fisher's org a lot. He's the chief revenue officer, kind of in charge of bringing together all of the disparate apps that Facebook has and trying to sell ads across them in a more uniform way for marketers. And then in Schrepp's org, the chief technology officer, you've got a lot of the more skunk works, far-flung projects that are not, you know, contributing meaningfully to the business today, but could one day. So that includes a massive hardware group run by a longtime executive there named Andrew Bosworth. He's got over 12 direct reports, and then they each have their own teams underneath them. And it's kind of remarkable to see the investment Facebook is making in consumer hardware
Day. Well, at it for something that is just not core to their business and may never be or may not be, you know, for at least a decade. I mean, it's really amazing to see.
And for Facebook, hardware is a bet on the next computing platform, which they think is VR and AR, augmented reality. So they're thinking one day our phones will not be the main way we interact with the internet. They will be glasses on our face. And so they are working on that and hoping to, you know, hit the next early iPhone moment when computing shifts into this new paradigm. So that's that bet. They're spending billions of dollars on that. And then we go into the org of, which we've done before, but not in a kind of holistic way, of David Marcus running the Libra currency group that may or may not ever see the light of day, but they're certainly investing heavily into.
Can I ask you real quick, Alex, just to stop you right there? Yeah. Did you get a sense as you were reporting this out why it was that Marcus, who's the head of Calibra and that whole crypto push, isn't reporting directly into Mark, that he goes in through Mike Schrepp?
Well, Schrepp really, especially over the last couple of years, has amassed all of the projects that are not like the main revenue drivers for Facebook. So that's, or you know, will not be in the short term. So that's, you know, like WhatsApp reports to Zuck, for example, but that's because they spent, you know, $20+ billion on that and they need to start making money off of it. And it's core to kind of the messaging future of Facebook. Everything under Schrepp's org is important. You know, he manages all the AI stuff, obviously infrastructure and engineering, massive, you know, investments there. But, you know, with David and Calibra, which is doing the Libra currency, the org there, I mean, it is more of an experimental group, right? And, you know, I think when someone graduates, like say out of Schrepp's org to reporting directly to Mark, it's a sign that it's becoming more important to the kind of core pillar of Facebook and the business.
I see.
It's too early for that.
Right. So you got to sort of graduate to be a direct Zuck report. If you're in the experimental or long stage, you know, longer term stage, you kind of get put under the other ones.
Yeah, but that's not to make it seem less important. I mean, he's also got this group called the New Product Experimentation Group that we actually did a story on last week, kind of revealing what they're working on for the first time. And that group is kind of tasked with creating new social apps from scratch, basically Facebook's way of having to not acquire its way into future products. And that's a Schrepp thing. So he is over incredibly important long-term things for the company, but they're longer-term things. They're not like more immediate.
Gotcha. Okay. That actually provides a transition to something else that happened this week that, you know, the company announced and, you know, we got an early look at, which is this app Threads, which is essentially, now look, when I say that something is a Snapchat competitor or ripoff or copycat. That's a pretty generic thing to say about a lot of things coming out of Facebook, because they've been biting off Snap for quite some time now. But and as you wrote in your briefing, this one really takes it to a different level. I mean, this might be the most kind of obsessive and direct copy of the basic Snapchat features that I have seen to date. Tell me about Threads.
Yeah, so you're right. I would characterize it that way, because what Facebook has done to Snap in the past is kind of grafted on core features of Snap, but not really the core behavior that Snapchat is trying to do, which is talking through pictures, something that Evan Spiegel, the CEO of Snap, talks about all the time, using selfies and pictures to communicate like we used to do with text,
right,
with your closest friends in an ephemeral way. And that's the core of what Snapchat is. That's its ethos. And that's what this Threads app is. And it's built off of Instagram's close friends feature, which is a list of, you know, people you manually select from your Instagram friends that are your closest friends. And that's obviously up to you to decide. But once they're your close friends in Threads, you'll see them and you can message them. So it's a messaging play to build a meaningful messaging business off of Instagram. And there's no ads in it now, but, you know, I would say Facebook knowing who your close friends are is pretty valuable information. And there's a feature in it where they track every basic sensor available on your phone for a feature called auto status, where they kind of like old school, you know, like AOL, like status updates, but auto updating to know when you're at the gym, when you're watching a movie, when your phone's about to die. It's a way to kind of give your close friends a visibility into what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's incredibly valuable data to Facebook as well. And it's honestly, it's kind of brazen for them to be doing that right now, but here we are.
I'll be honest, that's probably more information that's valuable to Facebook than it is to me personally. I really couldn't care less about when my friend's phone is about to die or when they're at the gym. But yes, Facebook can can mine plenty out of that sort of stuff. I mean, look, you got to put yourself in the mind of Facebook at this point and see, you know, they've had varying degrees of success when they've bitten off Snap features. You know, Super Poke and all that stuff they did like 6 or so years ago didn't really take off. They absolutely crushed it and crushed Snap to a degree when they took stories and put that into Instagram, and that became this huge feature. I mean, what's the thinking now? Why, you know, with the success of stories, the fact that, you know, you could argue they've done a lot to pull the uniqueness of Snapchat into Instagram and you know, curb that company's growth. Why do this now? Like, what's the initiative? What's the imperative for them?
So my understanding, based on talking to people, current and former employees, is that Instagram has become incredibly commercial and less about your close friends as they do things like shopping. They just added a feature where you can get notified for merch drops. So it is becoming very commercial as Facebook is trying to milk Instagram for more revenue. We talked about that in a feature story I did about a month ago about how they're pushing Instagram to earn more revenue. So as that is happening, with Instagram, it's becoming less about the people you actually know, and it's becoming about influencers and brands and all of the above. And so I think what they're hoping with Threads is that they can take the core friend behavior and maintain it in a separate app and make people feel like they can still use Instagram's messaging backbone to talk to their close friends. So it's a way to kind of have their cake and eat it too. So it remains to be seen if people actually use this app, but they are going to promote it quite heavily. And I think Snap stock sunk like 7% when they announced this. So I think people are going to be watching to see how this takes off or if it doesn't.
Yeah. And let's also be clear. Facebook has a pretty good track record of releasing apps that go nowhere. That absolutely do not connect with their audience. You know, they're easy investments for them to make. And, you know, when it fails, they kind of wipe their hands clean and put it on the stack of apps that includes things like Paper. And I don't even remember the rest of them. The thing I found interesting about this was, you know, this also comes on the heels of a pretty aggressive campaign that Snap had done to advertise the app as being one where you communicate with your close friends. I mean, they have literal billboards around the country saying that, you know, your real friends are people that you actually like. It's not about the size of network. And the implication there is, you know, Snapchat is the only app that connects you to the people you actually like. I mean, did that seem as brazen to you as it does to me? I mean, is that really also partly the thinking?
Yes. everything is brazen about it. The logo for the Threads app is literally a slightly changed version of the Spectacles logo, which is Snap's camera glasses.
Right.
It's like almost identical. It was released on the day, like to the date of when they first launched Stories, when Snapchat first launched Stories. I mean, there's like so many layers of this that are like, you would think that they plan it. But yeah, I don't know. If I was a Facebook product designer, I don't know how I would feel about just kind of looking at Snap all day and figuring out how to graph off aspects of it. But you know, that's where we're at.
Right. That's between them and their therapist, I guess. So last thing here, but definitely one of the more interesting things that I've seen coming out of Facebook in the past few years was this Q&A leak. So let me set it up as best I understand it. But Alex, you cover the company and know it much better than I do. But basically, you know, Mark Zuckerberg has carried weekly Q&As with his employees for years. Sort of these somewhat informal chances for the thousands of people that work at Facebook to ask him directly a question, kind of a town hall-like setting. And they have always been kept secret. For as long as they've been around, nothing is ever really... Occasionally, bits and pieces of something he might have said will leak out into a story. But what we had happen this week was the full audio of a recent Q&A come out and get posted to The Verge. What were your thoughts on that? I mean, what to you did it mean? What did it mean to you, both the content of the Q&A and the fact that it leaked itself?
The fact that it leaked is interesting. You know, they have been doing these Q&As weekly for over a decade, and he is unusually frank in these meetings about everything. And contents of some of the stuff he said has leaked in the past, but we've never gotten a full, like, audio leak dump of an entire meeting. And apparently this was when he had an intern meeting in July, and I'm sure Facebook's well-staffed, you know, investigative group has probably found who that person is already.
Right.
But it is remarkable that it leaked. It was going to happen eventually. And I think it's very telling that what leaked was him talking about Elizabeth Warren,
right,
call to break up the company, and some stuff that was very political that got incredible international news attention because of that. And yeah, I mean, the contents of what he said is more interesting, I think, than the fact that it leaked.
Interesting.
But, you know, it is interesting that it leaked. And I think it's a sign of how, you know, there's obviously, you know, Facebook has grown to a company that's 40,000 people. There's going to be people inside the company who don't drink the Kool-Aid, so to speak. And about, you know, keeping things secret and about the company line. It shows that there's some dissent, I think, maybe. But
well, the fact that it was an intern kind of complicates that, right? I mean, if this was, you know,
yeah,
if
it does.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's someone who just is a temp or a temporary employee. I imagine for a long-term employee or even one who isn't as long, there maybe is a sense of comfort that there isn't, you know, an active revolution happening in, you know, the palace guard, that this is, you know, kind of on the peripheries of the company.
Yeah.
And, you know, it slightly changes the fact that this is, you know, as angry, you know, a rabble as it could have been.
Yeah, but I think, you know, people inside Facebook are very concerned about these antitrust calls and now investigations into Facebook. And Elizabeth Warren in particular has been incredibly vocal, kind of using Facebook as a scapegoat for her, anti-monopolistic policy rhetoric. And so Zuckerberg was asked about that, and he basically said, you know, look, we're going to go to the mat and we're going to fight. If she wins and she brings a suit against us, we're going to sue the government back, and I think we'll win.
Right.
So he was very direct, and, you know, he would obviously never say that in a PR-sanctioned interview, and that's why it was newsworthy.
Well, yes, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, if this were, you know, an interview with us or, you know, in front of Congress, and he would ask about, you know, this sort of thing, how different do you think his answer really would have been?
It would definitely not be as
direct.
I guess
you wouldn't talk about going to the mat, maybe. Sure.
Yeah, and that is really reflective of how he thinks and how he views the world. You know, Zuckerberg is a fighter. We know that. Like, Facebook would not be where it is today if he was not willing to actually go to the mat, like the company has done so many times, whether it's against competitors like Snapchat, like we were just talking about, or governments or what have you. So, of course, Facebook would fight this, and he seems very sure that they would win in an antitrust suit. And they have all the money in the world to keep a suit like that just going on in the courts forever. So, you know, that's an interesting thing. And then I thought what was actually almost more interesting is that they then decided to live stream his employee all hands this week to the world on his Facebook page. And my understanding is this was a surprise decision that most in the company didn't know about until about 10 minutes before the all hands. And his thinking in that all hands was like, look, like, you know, people have told me that I'm robotic in interviews. You know, there's like jokes about plugging me in at night. And I, you know, people tell me that I seem more relatable and frank and, you know, like myself in these all hands because I am. And so I want people to see the real me. And I think it worked. You know, obviously he wasn't as candid as he probably would have been if hadn't been streamed on his Facebook page. But it showed a side of him that is definitely more relatable. And, you know, that was, I think, a pretty smart PR move to stream that. There wasn't really news in there, but you got to see more of how he thinks about the world. And so I think the next time there's a leak like this, it's going to take a little bit of the sting out of the leak because we're already seeing him be a little more open.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all this is PR and like optics, but it's interesting to watch.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you talk to employees about it, I mean, did this seem more like the real Zuck? What was showing up in the live stream? Because it's funny, it's like a Schrodinger's cat situation. The very act of observing him changes the fact that he is, you know, he's not really a private setting. So did it feel materially different to people who've kind of seen the private ones and they're like, yeah, this is more like what he's like in those, or, you know, the live stream is just another basically conversation with the public?
No, it definitely was more him. And I think that was the point to show that. And, you know, you got him geeking out about like an engineer fixing like a bug on a specific thing of marketplace. And like, you get to see how he thinks about the world. And that's, like I said, that's more valuable when there's a leak and, you know, more attention is on the leak because we don't see that side of him that often. We see very, very carefully crafted statements that have been rehearsed and practiced before. So I'm all for Zuck being more transparent and more himself, you know, even if that means that there's going to be some, you know, PR snafus around that. But, you know, I think they're going to keep doing the all hands, apparently. So was not enough to stop the all hands. So I'm sure we'll hear more about those in the future.
Right, which is not always the case, by the way. Google had a leak come out a couple years back, and they've essentially stopped that level of kind of all hand transparency that they used to have. So it wasn't necessarily going to be that case.
That's a fascinating point. You're like bringing up Google because Google, some people tell me, is like Facebook, but smarter in the sense that they just keep their heads down. And they don't get the same level of attention around this kind of stuff. I think partly because their founders who are there and definitely still in the background pulling the strings are not as widely known and just out there constantly like Zuckerberg is. I mean, Zuckerberg, you know, is arguably as known as like the Pope globally. And so I think that puts a pressure on Facebook. And because it is a personal service that people use to share baby photos, it's not as much of a utility in people's eyes. I think that puts this kind of unquantifiable but very qualitative like pressure on the company of like needing to engage even when they would probably rather not. So they're kind of in a weird spot there where they've engaged for so long in such a public way that they can't really stop doing it now, even though it would probably make things a lot easier. Just ask Google, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully to many more to come. I guess I need to get back into Facebook Live. It's been a while since I've thought of that as a product. But if that's our new State of the Union, our weekly State of the Union, is Zuck Facebook Live-ing his Q&As, then I guess we'll have to accept the new world that we're in. All right, Alex, I know you must be exhausted after a very Facebook-heavy week, so appreciate you joining and talk to you soon.
All right, talk to you.